this is not your first go round. What causes you to seek the position again?
Well, Stan, originally I was not planning to, but I had people here several months ago from around the district reaching out and asking me what my plans were and encouraging me to run, including key people on Toby Beck's campaign. Folks from Hendricks County started emailing and texting and calling, and conversation developed, and they invited me to come down and to Hendricks, and I did so. And we had a meeting, lasted maybe 3 or 4 hours, and I came out of that meeting seriously thinking about running again. And since then, we've developed a campaign staff, and we're going forward. So I'm very excited. I know I've been very well received around the district from the party chairs, and a great many supporters, even those that might not have supported me in the 18 cycle are reaching out to me right now and to my campaign staff to tell them they're on board, tell us. So we're very pleased about that.
So let me ask you the same question that I asked Toby Beck on election night last year after she had lost when we had her on our election show, which is, you know, and I had asked her this in the midst of the race, too. Is the 4th district winnable by a Democrat? I mean, there are a lot of people who would say this is one of the more safe Republican districts in the state of Indiana. Some people might say in the country. And so what makes, do you think it's winnable?
Well, of course I do. I believe it is winnable. Moving forward, I just looked at the situation. I looked at the situation that my fellow Hoosiers here in the 4th find themselves in, where public school education is concerned, where health care is concerned, where opportunities for infrastructure are concerned. And I found that there were a great many people, including Republicans, who literally find themselves in agreement with me on certain issues. And we're going to go out and argue those issues and promote our ideas. And I believe we can win. I can tell you that that's not the sole consideration. There are a great many Democrats here. There are a great many independents. So we're going to go forward on the assumption that, yes, we can win. But at the end of the day, that's not going to be the sole focus of the race.
And so, you know, a lot was made last year about people tying themselves to the president or not. That certainly became one of the big things in the Senate race with Senator Braun. Do you have a plan for whether you want to talk about Jim Baird's relationship with the president or issues that that you might find in common between those two? Because obviously the Republicans are going to have a big name at the top of the ticket more than the Democrats are.
Absolutely. Well, you know, Congressman Baird ran on full support of the president, his ideas and policies. It certainly isn't benefiting our farmers here in the district. You have problems with the USMCA. He's trying to get passed. He's pounding this bill, and we have problems with losing manufacturing jobs. We got to stop signing bills or developing multinational trade agreements that cost Americans their manufacturing base.
I got to ask you, Joe. Though, how much of that can you put at the foot of a one-term congressman?
Well, it's a matter of he's been out there saying and calling for the passage of this bill. So it isn't totally Jim Baird's fault. It's just there's problems with this bill. He should be talking to, in a bipartisan manner, on how we can fix this and make this bill better for Americans. But we're not hearing that. So at the same time, you know, we have Betsy DeVos, who's full throttle on defunding public school education, and kids in our rural schools are suffering as a result in our suburban schools. So, you know, while it's not his fault, he has certainly promoted the president and the president's staff. We have a Secretary of Agriculture, Wilbur Ross, who's running around calling farmers whiners. And now today he's telling dairy farmers in Minnesota, Wisconsin, you're not going to make it. So, you know, the farming community has been severely damaged by the policies. The trade tariffs are hurting consumers. We're seeing now three of the 15 top American market indicators are in retraction. That's 20% of our economy is now in retraction. That's going to cause further stress. Farming, manufacturing, shipping are all contracting. So that's a lot of jobs. And so we see these economic issues starting to develop, and they're coming out of the cause of the trade war. So tariffs do hurt, and Americans are paying for it. So they're buying less, ordering less. So we have some problems. We have problems with education. Certainly Betsy DeVos isn't out there looking to protect students from predatory marketers of education. We have a problem there. We have a problem with affording education. So there's a number of issues that while he may not be able, we would never hold him solely responsible for, he has certainly supported all of the individuals whose policies are creating these issues.
So let's talk about the issue of bipartisanship. You are, as a Democrat, I mean, I think the numbers suggest at the very least you're fighting an uphill battle, that there are probably more Republicans in this district just on base numbers than there are Democrats. So you've got to win some people over as a Democrat running in the fourth. How are you going to do that? What would you propose as ways that you will commit to that you would reach across the aisle to sway those voters specifically?
Towards my campaign? Well, certainly health care is a primary issue, especially in our rural areas. Health care is, of course, contracting, and it's moving out of the rural areas. This leaves women and children at very great risk. Their medical needs are not present. So a mom who has to take her child to a pediatrician often has to take a day off of work, a whole day. Children have to travel farther for their pediatricians. Women are in the same boat when they have to find an obstetrician or having to travel farther. The community outpatient hospitals in the rural areas are cutting services, not adding them. So we have a real clear problem. Emergency response is at an all-time low. It's underfunded out there, and people are finding themselves waiting 50 minutes for an ambulance. So there's a lot of issues in healthcare. Certainly pharmaceutical costs, hospitalization, hidden billing. We have problems with education in the rural areas. No internet. Our rural children are being very underserved. There is a clear disparity between the educational opportunities in our urban and suburban areas and those in the rural areas. So there's the equity margin is growing farther and farther apart. We can address this.
Okay, so let me ask you a little bit about both healthcare and education specifically, because obviously these have been issues that have mattered. Healthcare made a huge difference to Democrats winning the House back last year. Education is something that even somebody like Jennifer McCormick, who's been an elected statewide Republican, is talking about. She told me the other day she feels, you know, sort of untethered to politics now and is willing to speak her mind. Let me start with healthcare. Again, back to the issue of reaching across the aisle. There are a lot of people who are going to say, Joe, how do you get more help without socializing medicine? What's your answer?
That's a great question. And here's the answer to this. People want to throw the word socialism at us as a means of vilifying a position. But let's talk about this for a minute. The American market for healthcare is not a system. It is a market. It operates on profit. And we have now a healthcare market here in the United States that is built on predatory capitalism. Pharmaceutical companies are raising their costs for medicines at will, with virtually no consideration for the affordability of the medicines they're manufacturing. So we find that even with healthcare insurance, they are underinsured. We can fix these problems. These aren't problems that are solely recognized by Democrats. Go out into the rural areas. Republicans understand it. They're asking, why are my medications so high? where is my health care? We're watching insurance companies sell these short-term health care policies that are inexpensive, but they also do not allow for any of the bullet points of the ACA, mandatory coverage. So people with pre-existing conditions either can't get that short-term insurance, or they're paying $1,200 and $1,300 a month for it. So, you know, we have some problems with the return of pre-existing conditions to the healthcare market, and we're very concerned, and so are they. This isn't a partisan issue. Healthcare is a real issue facing every single American, whether you are a Republican, a Democrat, a Libertarian, Independent, a voter, a non-voter. It does not matter. Healthcare is not affordable. It is a catastrophe in this country, and it has to be addressed. Everyone knows this. So we need to stop the name calling and start talking about ideas, giving ideas, listening to people, and fixing this problem. And I'm going to focus on that. I'm going to focus on the healthcare needs of those in our rural communities, especially our women and children.
All right, let's talk about education for a second, because as I mentioned to Superintendent McCormick in our conversation recently, one of the interesting things is that we know that education is something that matters to Indiana voters, because she and Glenda Ritz and others have, on entire statewide ballots, been among the highest vote getters, whoever is winning the race for Superintendent of Public Instruction, which, of course, is not going to be an elected position anymore starting next year. Are you able to use those talking points, or indeed even perhaps use her as a resource? She, of course, has been traveling the state with Democratic Senator Eddie Melton. And so she's somebody who's saying, we just want to talk about how to make education better in the state. And she's, in fact, been talking against some of the talking points that Republican administrations and Republican leadership in the Indiana State House and State Senate have been using to push things like vouchers and school choice. Do you need an ally like that, especially in this slightly more red than blue district?
We absolutely do. I've spoken with Senator Melton and his staff on several occasions, and education has come up. I'm certainly excited about the idea that people on both sides of the aisle are arguing this. It needs to be done. We clearly have a problem. I see the ideas being promoted here are actually beneficial across the flyover states. The rural areas absolutely need some attention. Their schools need to be built up. We need rural infrastructure. We need to put internet out there. We need to give these kids expanded educational opportunities. So anyone who's talking about that favorably obviously is an ally. I have not had any direct conversations with her as yet, but we're just announcing. So undoubtedly those will be coming, and I will certainly be all ears in hearing what she has to say.
How do you go about getting the money that you're going to need to put together what will probably have to be a fairly significant ad blitz? There have been a number of people who have talked about the fact that the fourth is difficult because it spans a whole bunch of different media markets of different sizes. You've got edges into the Indianapolis market. You've got the Lafayette market. You've got Kokomo on the edges. You even reach up kind of close to some of the places that can get Chicago television. So how do you get the amount of money that you're going to need to put your message out there to even make a dent?
Well, so here's the plan going forward. We announce Friday night up in Logansport in Cass County. Then we come back on Sunday afternoon and announce here in Lafayette in Tippecanoe County. And then we leave here and go down to Hendricks County and we announce. And once this is done, we're on the phones, we're talking to people, we're calling out for help. We've already had a large number of people who have committed to supporting us through the primary, and an even larger number committed to supporting us coming out of a primary. So the money's out there. We just have to be smart and go after it. We're going to launch a grassroots effort. I think it can work here. We're not asking people to give us thousands of dollars when $4 a month would more than fund a Democratic campaign here in the 4th Congressional District.
You are making this announcement at the time that the President of the United States is the subject of an impeachment inquiry by the House of Representatives. How much does that national narrative play into either your timing in when you announce or indeed the next 12 months of this race?
Well, I can tell you right now, we're not focusing on the goings-on in Washington today. The facts have to come out. Congress certainly has constitutional authority on oversight. And we're going to let the people in Washington today work through that. In the meantime, we're going to focus on issues that we are facing right here today in the 4th Congressional District. So we're going to stay very local, and we'll let what's going on in Washington play out.
So you're not planning to run against President Trump?
No. No, not where impeachment is concerned. We're going to run against Betsy DeVos. We're going to run against Wilbur Ross. There's a number of people out there whose decision-making, whose policies are hurting us here. They're hurting us. So we need to focus on those bad policies and the bad decision-making coming from various executive branch offices.
Mr. Mackey, thank you so much for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you very much.